Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Congratulations on getting out on your workday. We have the stories that you need to know. And first, reporting from SportsRadio.com, Adam Spolane has this, Clint. Astros just announced, and this is about an hour ago, that Brandon Belak will start tomorrow. He is now in the rotation. Zach Greinke will go on Friday instead of Thursday. Framber Valdez will go Saturday, and then Christian Javier again on Sunday. Dusty Baker will speak to the media coming up soon. That also means that Josh James has been moved to the bullpen. Which one of those moves jump out to you the most? Brandon Belak moving into the rotation or Josh James now in the bullpen?
Well, which one do I think will end up being a bigger move for the Astros? I think it's going to be Josh James. I think you've done a great job of giving reasons why. Appreciate Josh it. James is a better fit in the bullpen. He'll only throw two pitches versus four pitches. He focuses on going out there and getting three outs and empties the tank while you're there. Clearly, he has the ability to do that, and clearly the starting role for him right now just has proven to be too much. So I would have to go with Josh James to the pen. One, because I think he proved he's not a starter, and two, because I think he can help the Astros desperately out of the pen. Look, Belak is a guy that somehow has two wins already after waking up one morning in Corpus Christi about a week ago and driving to Houston and pitched that day. So he's definitely a guy that I'm excited about watching. Need to see more, obviously. 5.1 innings pitched by Brandon Belak to this point. He's given up four hits, one earned run, which I believe it was a home run, if I remember correctly. But nonetheless, he's the little sample size that we've seen has been impressive, but it is a small sample size, and we need to see more.
No, I think the concern about him is we'll see how long he can go
tomorrow.
But hell, I'm guessing Dusty's thinking, hell, Josh has been out here in three innings and 70 pitches, and maybe we can get, like, if you can get four from this kid, if he can hang on to this spot and just give the team a chance until hopefully Urquidy comes back or a move is made, what'd you call it, a click stamp?
Yeah.
A click stamp is made. If he can just hold it together, I think this team is good for the playoffs. But to me, the move is Josh James. One, Clint, to me, because it creates a place where he was a true detriment to your team. He was killing your bullpen. I mean, your fielders are in the field for long stretches, and many times they're starting trailing in the game in the first, after the first two innings. Now I think he has a chance to be a weapon in the bullpen, a real weapon, and you need help there as well. His stuff, throwing 98 to 100 with the changeup, plays really well, and when he's not thinking, just bring the cheese, baby. I think he can be a real weapon. So I think that's the bigger piece, because you could have potentially made a detriment a weapon.
Well, I know it's hard to even think this way, but he's more needed in the bullpen right now with what's going on with the Astros. He's more needed in the pen with Christian Javier stepping up and proving again, it's a very small sample size, but proving that he's the bright lights, the big stage of being a starting pitcher for the Houston Astros and towing the rubber for 5-6 innings at this point in time has proven to not be too big of a moment for him. And so with that said, Josh James can slide down to the pen and hopefully help the Astros there.
5 o'clock fire.
Hey, this is coming out of the NFL. There have been a few more players with the Lions and the Giants to opt out. But more importantly, it brings it up to 60 opt-outs, and I believe the Texans only have one, the Eddie Vanderloos fella, who John McClain, the general, said he probably wasn't going to make the team when they drafted Ross Blacklock. But 60 at this time, opt-outs, the deadline, the new deadline is now tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Now with that, Clint, you can go back and opt out if medically something changes for you or medically something changes for your family. But outside of those cases, 4 o'clock tomorrow is the option.
Yeah. It's the big reason that's needs to be noted and we need to pay attention to it is at this point in time, the Texans haven't been hit in the same way that the Kansas City Chiefs have been hit with a running back, starting running back, a starting tackle.
He's a guard
starting guard. You know, there's been several teams that have lost a few starters. Really, Patriots lost several starters. The Texans to this point have not been hit, so keep your fingers crossed that players aren't opting out for the Texans. Obviously, if they need to, hey man, you got to do what's best for you and your family, and obviously health comes first, your family comes first. I get that. But as a fan for the Texans, you hope that in 2020 they're able to take the field with the advantage of having very few, if any, players opt out. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye on tomorrow. It's actually 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern time. So it's 3 o'clock our time is the deadline tomorrow.
What's your thoughts? Do you think any big names opt out? I think the biggest name has been Hightower, the linebacker with the Patriots, maybe Patrick Chung with the Patriots, but I think Hightower is a bigger name. You think we get any name where we're like, whoa?
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
I think,
man,
it would have happened by now. Right?
I think it would have probably happened by now, but man, it's got to be something that now, if it's a health issue for you or your family in a sense of where you're just the risk goes through the roof because of a health issue, then I think it's a no-brainer. But if you're a guy that, hey, the risk just in general of playing the game of football in these times scares you, I could see some of the bigger name guys waiting until the last minute to opt out. Sure.
Yeah. So we'll see tomorrow. Actually, as a fan who wants to watch football, I hope we get all the guys that we want to see.
Oh, yeah. Right? No, hell yeah. No doubt.
Because Clint will lose it if Tom Brady opts out.
No question.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. We heard from the coordinators, and we'll get in pretty deep with Tim Kelly because he's brought up a few things today. But I want to get to defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver, and he spoke to the media today. And the biggest takeaway I think we heard from was he is going to coach the defensive line as well as be the defensive coordinator. All right, he does have some guys there, Akeem Dent, who could potentially help him out. He does have some guys there, but he is going to try to fill both roles. For somebody who has been so impressive, has passed every test with flying colors, this is the first concern that I would wonder about, and I think Texans fans would wonder about, the responsibility of coaching both. Should he delegate that role more and just concentrate as a coordinator?
Well, I don't know if he should or he shouldn't, show, but I know that if you're covering the Texans from a distance, then it may be a concern. But I think where we sit here, knowing that Akeem Dent's not just an assistant coach, this is a guy that played 6 years in the NFL. This is a guy that shadowed and coached alongside of Anthony Weaver last year at the defensive line position for the Texans. So I think that is a big-time safety net. And I think Romeo Crennel being there as a consultant is a big-time safety net for Anthony Weaver. And the biggest part of this thing is I don't know Anthony Weaver, but what I can draw from hearing from him multiple times since he was named the defensive coordinator, I think it's safe to say that he's a pro's pro. He's a guy that is not above or afraid of going, hey, man, this dual title, this defensive coordinator and defensive line coach title is too much. I need to spend more time overseeing the entire defense, not with my nose in the grind with the defensive line guys every single day. I just trust that Anthony Weaver's a guy that'll make the right decision when it comes to where he's best needed as a defensive coordinator on a day-to-day basis. I just, for whatever reason, man, I just
Well, he makes you believe when you hear
I don't
him
have a, yeah, I don't have a ton of confidence in what Tim Kelly brings to the table and whether there's going to be a ton of difference between him and Bill O'Brien. But I tell you, man, I'm pretty confident in the fact that Anthony Weaver's going to make the right decisions and put himself damn sure, but he'll put everybody in the best position to be the best coach and the best player that they can be.
I think the big thought would be this guy is a first-year coordinator and the coordinator for Bill O'Brien, the defensive coordinator for Bill O'Brien teams, generally is almost like a head coach to that side of the ball. And it's his first year. That's just kind of the thought of, man.
Oh, it's a legit concern, no doubt.
Yep. 5 o'clock fire.
And Dusty spoke yesterday, and he spoke about two guys that are missing right now and two guys that you thought were going to be slotted in. Yordan Alvarez would be right in the middle of that order, and Jose Urquidy as potentially a number four starter for this team, and Lord knows this team needs starters. This was Dusty Baker on the latest with those two guys.
We know Urquidy is scheduled to throw bullpen in a couple of days. He's feeling better, but he's not anywhere close. He's still a couple of weeks off. Alvarez is starting to hit, and he'll probably say he's ready in a few days, but he needs some reps, you know what I mean? And he needs to see live pitching down there in Corpus Christi.
Clint, we talked about how important this season is and how much more these games are worth. Almost three more wins per game than it normally is when there's 162 as opposed to 60. A couple weeks maybe with Urquidy? Yeah. That is a bit disappointing. Maybe not as long with Alvarez, but man, I'm surprised that it would be that long.
I'm surprised it'd be that long as well, but I, with what's going on with the Texans staff, I think the last thing you should do is hurry Jose Urquidy, who will end up being probably your number three starter. You hope that Javier makes that decision difficult of who's going to be the three and who's going to be the four. But Jose Urquidy, with what's going on, man, take your time. The Astros just need you in a month. I don't give a damn if you need a month. Here's the deal, Yordan Alvarez is the one that. Hey, man, look. If this team can put up six runs a night with Bregman hitting 209, Springer and Altuve hitting below 200, then damn it, they can put up six runs while Yordan Alvarez gets the looks that he needs here in Houston with the Astros. Bring him on, plug him in the lineup, and let's make some noise. I mean, look, you got Toro getting looks. Live looks in games. Why can't Yordan Alvarez be that guy?
Never seen Toro hit a ball hard. Hopefully that comes soon. Folks, I'm never going to lie to you. I never thought I was ever going to start a tease off by saying TJ Yates said, but he said something that brought a whole lot of perspective on Deshaun Watson. You don't want to miss this coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Damn fingertips just smell like straight up hot sauce, man. Good God.
Hey, sure you don't have my banana? It's that Cholula, baby. Put that on damn near anything, man. I don't know about a banana.
No damn banana.
But, you put that on damn near anything.
You really can. I'm not feeling it right now, I tell you that much.
Clint, I need a shot.
Uh-huh. I need something, man. That was horrid. So we were listening to the assistants today. And T.J. Yates, the assistant quarterback coach, a guy that's going to be in the room working with Deshaun Watson and Tim Kelly, he said something, man, that really put in perspective how impressive what Deshaun Watson has done over his first 3 years. And listen, Patrick Mahomes has been impressive, has won the MVP in the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, also very impressive. But man,
oh, thank you. That is awesome.
But listening to T.J. Yates speak about this with Deshaun really put what he's done in perspective.
You know, obviously, you know, one thing that I didn't really realize until I saw it the other day, he's, for how young he is, he's, I think he's 24 years old going into his fourth year. And compared to me, like, I was 24 my rookie year. So he's still a very young quarterback, learning lots of different nuances of defenses and just really his next step in the maturation process as a quarterback, learning defenses, quarterbacking stuff, mechanics-wise, really getting the most out of his body and his mechanics, I think are really going to take him over over the top and kind of take that next step.
Now he was 24. He's 24, right? T.J. Yates as a rookie was 24. And what did you say? You were 22 as a rookie in the league.
Yeah, I didn't redshirt in college.
Yeah, and to think where Deshaun Watson is, looked up as an elite quarterback in this league, voted by people in the NFL. They did a list here, 50 people in the NFL, scouts, coaches, GMs, players, and he was a top five quarterback in this league, ahead of Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP. And to think, man, he's only 24 years old, which is just is nuts when he says that and puts that in perspective.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think Deshaun Watson, when you look at the total package and you look at what he's done, you look at what you believe, you know, a guy has left to develop. The whole package is as impressive as any young quarterback in the league. I love Pat Mahomes, and in no way, shape, or form am I saying that Deshaun Watson's better than Pat Mahomes. But I do believe Pat Mahomes is playing at a ceiling. I do believe
you think so.
Yeah, I do believe that he's playing at a ceiling. Yes, I believe that he's not only playing at a ceiling, but he's in a perfect situation where the chemistry with his offensive coordinator, the play caller, the quarterback coach is through the roof. I mean, I'm jealous of I've never got in my career never got to play with anything close to that. The chemistry that's there, the fit that's there. It's what every quarterback dreams of. So Pat Mahomes is great, but I believe he's playing at his ceiling. I believe he's playing at or above his ceiling over the last year and a half. Lamar Jackson is a guy that I think is obviously a very, very talented player. I think the unknown with Lamar Jackson, I think the unknown in terms of can he develop in the pass game the way that the NFL is going to demand of him over the next few years. We'll find out. I think it's a crapshoot at this point in time. He's obviously going to be a hell of a player in this league, but can he become a passer of the football at a level where his arm can win games? I don't know. I think it's a crapshoot. Deshaun Watson has had a ton of success. Three playoff games. He won one of those playoff games. You can look throughout the season and the playoffs. A lot of the success they've had has been on just his ability to go make plays, to create a highlight reel type of season. He's a guy that's had a huge amount of success already. And to put it very simple, he's playing nowhere near his ceiling. The chemistry with the play caller again leaves a lot to be desired in terms of what the other two young quarterbacks in this game have. So, man, I just think that Deshaun Watson's got a lot of developing to do, and his ceiling is awfully high. And when you look in the rearview mirror of what he's already accomplished, that's scary.
That's interesting. Clint Stoerner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 16. You don't think that he is playing at his ceiling? Because you just said, like, the guy he is compared to, because he went in the draft, a couple spots behind him is Patrick Mahomes, right? They're the two to be the young guns. They match them up September 10th to open up the season, to play Thursday night. You just said you think Pat Mahomes is playing at his ceiling, but Deshaun is not close to his ceiling.
Yep.
What's the difference, you think, between those two, why you see Deshaun not not even scratching the surface.
Well, I think that what you see Deshaun doing is there's the simple things are being left on the table. You know, there's not a ton of screen game that's helping him. There's if you look at the spots he needs to develop, I think it's simple things. I always use the term simple things savagely well, like just footwork in the pocket. You heard T.J. Yates talk about this guy as he continues to improve his mechanics and his technique, he's going to continue to get better and better and better. I think when you watch him play, Deshaun Watson does a lot of floating. He floats in the pocket. He floats and drifts in the pocket. And that's not all. He's got great feel for the pocket, but he floats and drifts way too often. And when a guy like that learns to tie his feet to whatever route he's throwing or whatever concept he's reading, then he's going to get better. When a guy works on just the very basics of getting through progressions. I mean, I think one of the things that quarterbacks probably, when you get to the NFL, don't work on enough is like full body resets. It's one thing to know, okay, Cooks is my first read, then I'm going to Cobbs with my second read, and then I'm going across the field to a tight end, or I'm going across the field to Fuller on a drag route. You know, that's my read. 1, 2, 3. It's easy to say that, to say those things. It's easy to get through those reads with your eyes, but it's also easy to get lazy with your feet. And so you got to constantly work on reset. Set my full body, my feet, my base, my hips, my shoulders, my eyes, and everything to one. And if one's not there, get to two quickly with a full body reset so that when I do pull the trigger, I've got all of my body, all of my, from my nose to my toes, working together to make that throw. And then I can make that throw more powerfully. I can make that throw more accurately. I can make that throw more effortlessly. And you got to work. Sometimes you got to get through to the fourth read in the progression. Well, if you're lazy with your feet and you're lazy getting through your progression and you get to three or four and it's your body's out of whack, now it's an all-arm throw and you're asking your arm to do too much a lot of the times. Now, these guys are unbelievably talented, so it doesn't bite them in the ass much, but it's clearly better to get through your read and through your progression with full-body resets. Deshaun doesn't always do that. And he doesn't have the arm talent that Pat Mahomes has, so it hurts him more than it does Pat Mahomes. So I just think there's simple things that he's got to continue to work on that are going to make him significantly better. The mental aspect of it, just having answers for pressure, show. If Dan Orlovsky on a national level who covers the Texans 1/32 of his time, right? 1/32nd of his time to cover the NFL, he looks at the Texans and he immediately goes, it's way too often. They don't have answers for pressure. Some of that falls on Deshaun Watson. That aspect of it is going to take Deshaun Watson's game to the next level. I mean, there's just so much there. I don't think we've seen anywhere near the Deshaun Watson that's the ceiling that's possible.
713-572-4610 from the text line. Since you're saying we haven't seen Deshaun's ceiling, then what is his ceiling? Because I don't think he could ever reach what Patrick Mahomes is doing.
Wow. I mean, there's so much that goes into the quarterback position. What Pat Mahomes is doing is a very risky style of ball, but he's surrounded by a great play caller, great schemer, and he's surrounded by a very complimentary, a great of several great individual receivers that are all complimentary to each other, and they happen to fit what Pat Mahomes is doing. I don't think that Deshaun Watson is ever going to play the position the way that Pat Mahomes plays the position. That would be foolish of him to do it. In fact, I think if Pat Mahomes doesn't tighten up the way that he plays the game, he's going to end up being injured.
But that's a place of growth, right, for Mahomes?
Oh yeah,
he could get better, much better technically, which is surprising that Andy hasn't gotten him better technically. Yeah. But maybe that's the next step. He acknowledges it. I know I've heard Mahomes talk about his footwork.
One thing
is not where it needs to be.
One thing with Mahomes, man, is now he's a great player. I'm not taking anything away from the Chiefs and him as a great player. He gets away with a lot of stuff that's ill-advised. And as great as he is, at some point that bites you in the ass. Like Brett Favre got away with throwing the ball across his body way more than anybody else. But what happened, it ultimately cost him a trip to the Super Bowl, possibly a second Super Bowl win. Or did he win two already in Green Bay?
This he won one. He only won one.
Okay, only won one. Well, this cost him a second shot when he was in Minnesota, I believe, when he threw the ball back across his body, threw the pick.
It's the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, those are things that I just man, when they work, they're electric and they're fun and it's highlight reel and it's like it's wow factor stuff. But man, that stuff catches up with you from a health standpoint, and that stuff catches up with you from a poor decision standpoint. I just think that Pat Mahomes has somehow got away with it for a year and a half now. And I do believe he's got to tighten his game up, too, because he's going to be injured if he doesn't.
Clint, Dusty Baker has just recently spoke with the media, and he has explained why he moved Josh James to the bullpen, why he chose Brandon Belak, and why he moved Zach Greinke back a start. You definitely don't want to miss why he did that. We'll get into that coming up next.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint, this is the latest. Dusty Baker spoke with the media today, and this from our guy Adam Spolane, our Sports Radio 610. He's on sportsradio610.com, but he is our insider, Adam Spolane. He said, Dusty said they moved James out of the rotation so he could be a late-inning reliever. He also said that Brandon Backe would get the start.
Wait. Brandon Backe can't get
the start. Brandon Backe. Brandon Belak. Brandon Backe, you can get the start. Brandon Belak will get the start, and they moved Josh James out of the rotation so he could be used as a late-inning reliever. He also said he moved Zach Greinke back a day because he didn't want him to face his old team.
I liked your voice.
He didn't want him to face his old team.
He didn't want him to face the Diamondbacks because Greinke was supposed to go tomorrow against the Diamondbacks. That's where Greinke
just... Let me tell you what that means, Show.
Okay. I'd love to hear it.
I believe... How many teams are there in the Major League Baseball?
30.
30 teams in Major League Baseball. I believe the Arizona Diamondbacks, in terms of production...
They seem to fit what we need.
How many runs they've produced? They're 30, ain't they? They're bottom. This is the worst lineup at this point in time. I know it's early in the season, but at this point in time, this is the worst lineup in baseball, right? They've hit two home runs, man. If you're going to throw Belak to the Wolves, this is the lineup to do it.
Maybe it was more about Belak than Greinke.
Greinke, yeah, well, I mean, really
you got to throw. You got a choice. You want Belak to throw versus the Diamondbacks, or do you want him to turn around and throw versus A's?
I hear you. I'm just telling you what Unc said.
You're all of a sudden that ain't even first name base. That's Unc, huh?
Uncle Dusty said, hey, we've moved Greinke back because we didn't want him to face his old team.
Uncle Dusty, what he didn't want to say, what he meant was we don't want to waste Greinke on these sorry suckers.
On the A's.
And we don't want to throw our young fella, Belak, to the Wolves versus the A's. So it's just going to be a better fit. It'll be a better fit if they do it this way.
Well, maybe
Makes perfect sense.
It makes sense, but maybe I've misjudged Dusty. I thought Dusty was stressed out.
Well, he's definitely
smoking
stressed
out.
Smoking
a lot of darts.
He's definitely smoking a lot of darts, if he's a smoker.
But him, he's sitting there saying, man, I can pick and choose who I want to start. I'm that confident, baby.
Yeah.
Maybe let's just get these wins.
I think a lot of what you said is true, but I don't think he's sitting back going, I'm confident. I think he's just doing the best that he possibly can. I think he's doing right by the young fella.
This is, you know what I need, though.
What's that?
Had a great day. Had to eat a damn banana with hot sauce because I was wrong. I need to be right on this. I cannot wait till the first time Josh James has to come out of the pen. I will be glued to the TV the first time Josh James comes out of the pen. Because, man, you won't be able to tell me nothing. Like Kanye, you won't be able to tell me nothing.
So it ain't got nothing to do with the fact that you want the Astros to do well. Or you hope Josh James as a man can...
Well, I hope the best. The secondary things.
You hope he can handle the failure of being a starter. You hope he... It ain't going to do that. It has to do with your ability to come in here and say, I told you so.
Well, you're damn right.
I told y'all. I was the first one to claim it. I told y'all.
No, I was right. I was. I was. I saw it, our guy
it,
Adam.
It worked Sp- out. It
I saw our
out.
Guy Adam Spolane, our insider on SportsRadio610.com. He tweeted out. I think his game may play better in the bullpen. I mean, I said that. And well, Adam knows a lot more baseball than I do. Feel great. About
well,
that.
I mean, I'm just going to tell you. I think that it doesn't take a genius at this point to think that whatever the next step is, he's going to fit better than what he attempted to fit as a starter.
But it took a genius to figure it out early.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And that's right. Me.
You got it, baby. Good job,
and
man.
And that's me. No, you brought up, though, just now while we're here, if we could stop the car real quick. I think you brought up a really good point with the Josh James thing. And I was thinking it first, but you brought it up, so I'll give you credit. No, a big part of this is I really believe his stuff plays well, Clint, but you would know this as a guy who's played football at the highest level. What's the bounce back going to be for him? You know Josh James wants to be a starter. That's where you get paid. That's where the money comes in. Your kid, I don't know how many kids growing up throwing the ball. I'm sure if we had Brandon Backe on, say I can mix him back in. We had Brandon Backe, and Brandon wasn't growing up saying, God, I want to pitch in the seventh. Man, if I could be a seventh inning guy. Good hell, if I could be an eighth inning guy.
Yeah.
He wants to be a starter. This is going to take some real ability for him to look at himself and get over this. Because he might carry that to the bullpen where, got to be down here, and I just got two starts. Yeah, I wonder, will he be able to flip the switch?
I mean, sometimes the worst things that happen to you end up being a blessing, right? I mean, it's you hope that this is a guy that doesn't let his want to be a starter get in the way of really what his strengths are. I mean, it's clear. I mean, look, it wasn't the third. Like, it may have been the third inning that did him in both outings in terms of walking the bases loaded and giving up a grand slam. But when he didn't throw 80 pitches in the third inning. Like, I mean, it wasn't pretty throughout. I mean, so this is a guy that you got to look at and go, hey, man, you may have had aspirations and dreams of being a major league starter, but you are clearly conditioned physically and mentally to be a pen guy, and
but he's got to
make
accept
a boatload of money doing that, and you got to accept it. I don't know. I don't know the game and the position well enough to go that this guy needs to do X, Y, and Z over the next 5 years to get another shot. But I do think that with this move being made, I think you laid it out nicely in terms of not throwing so many pitches, in terms of not having four pitches that you're attempting to throw the changeup and the fastball, and empty the tank. I mean, that if a guy is wired to do those things and he gets in his own way when he tries to think about throwing the slider, the curveball, the changeup, and the fastball, you eliminate two of them and he gets out of his own way and all of a sudden he's dialed in, then that's where you're wired and that's where you got to go make your money. And so I don't know what's going to end up happening long-term with Josh James. I know this. I know there's not a whole lot we know about the Astros. But one thing that we do know for sure is Josh James' ass don't need to be back on the mound starting role.
Not in a starter. That's it. If you missed it, Brandon Belak has moved into the starting rotation. Josh James is going down to the bullpen. Dusty Baker spoke with the media just a bit ago, and he said the reason they moved Josh James is they want to use him as a late-inning reliever. And he gave the reason for Zach Greinke being pushed back a start instead of starting Thursday, starting Friday against the A's, because he didn't want Greinke to face his old team. I just think I know a little bit about, not as well as you do, but a little bit about the competitive nature, and I think there is going to be some getting over the fact that I'm not a starter anymore, getting over the fact that this is a demotion.
Well, he better get over it quick.
No, he better. This is a demotion, but I think he should look at it the way that we're looking at it. The way we're looking at it is, yes, you couldn't do the starting thing, but it's not like you're not going to be of use. You can be a huge weapon and a huge important piece to this team.
And
he's got to get that in his mindset.
So, well, the other thing too, man, is look, this wasn't a close competition. I mean, Josh James, he's got to be a mental midget to not look at this and go, okay, I understand where it just wasn't working out. You know what I mean? It's not like
this couldn't have been blindsided.
Ain't like old Dusty came in and said, "Hey man, I'm gonna put you back in the pen." Well, why, Coach? What the heck?
What the hell, man?
I mean, how can you make that decision? What in the hell are you thinking, man? You know, I mean, I'm sure he said when Coach walked in the door, "I know, Coach. I know,
that's
Coach.
What he said.
Just please don't tell me I'm going to Corpus."
Yeah, that's right. As long as I'm not going to court.
Let me,
I don't think it went that way.
Yeah, let me go back down to the pen, Coach. I mean, it's one of those deals where, man, it's hard for athletes to stomach when you're competing for a certain spot and you feel like you got a chance and you literally are waiting on that coach to call you in and tell you whether you got the job or not. This wasn't one of them. I mean, he knew damn good and well he wasn't going to start
you
again.
You think he knew like we knew when he walked off that mound, Chief, in L.A.?
Hey, look here. Before Pujols' grand slam hit the ground, before it hit the ground in the bleachers up here, he knew his days as a starter were numbered this season.
It. Yeah, I think maybe before the pitch, if he's honest with the group. Before it, there's no way up. This is my last batter.
Yeah,
right.
And look, the good point is there really is a void in the bullpen. Like that's a big bold statement, but there's really a void, and him being there could end up being a not like you said, not just a weapon, but a could just take a huge issue and a huge void with this rotation and this pitching staff and fill it with a really good arm.
I have seen in this league what he can do be absolutely dominant and unhittable. I have seen what he can do from pitchers. Fastball, 98, 99, 100, probably above that if he really wants to. Change up out of the bullpen. I've seen that combination work and be dominant and guys make big money off of it. I think he's got to change his mindset, and I can't wait to see the first time he comes out. Hell, I hope he pitches tonight. I want to see his mindset and if we see a change. If he just goes out there and just says, man, I'm just going to cut it loose. Just cutting it loose. I'm not thinking. I'm just throwing. Because if he messes this up.
Corpus is the next stop.
Yeah. Just saying. He come out here in his next two outings and he walks the first two batters. He walks three in.
Look here. McCullers walked four last time he took them out. I mean, hell, you can't handle too many of them back-to-back walking, guys.
Especially not of the bullpen, as you said.
I mean, the only way that the Arizona Diamondbacks are a problem for the Astros is if Lance McCullers walks guys, if Josh James gets in there and walks guys and allows him to be a problem. Ultimately, with this lineup, with McCullers on the mound, it should be a repeat of last night.
All right, 713-572-4610. Tanner, you have some thoughts about the injuries with the Astros. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
You know, it's never nothing to smile about when you lose a Hall of Famer or Osuna, but, you know, we have one of the only lineups in the MLB that would be able to tolerate, you know, something like that. So I don't think it's so bad to let this be the year of the youngins. We already got Javier looking great. You know, we got MVP's coming up to the plate every night. So I say, hey, man, give these young guys a shot. We got the bats to back it up. And real quick, Shaw, I know eating that thing wasn't easy today, but if it means Altuve's hitting it 415 feet, you better get used to him because I liked to see that last night. Thanks,
all right,
guys.
Appreciate the call, Turner. I'm not getting used to that. He could just hit it. He just could have got another just a measly hit. No, but I think he spoke a lot of what you've been saying. This lineup is so good that it can potentially carry it. And you're right. I mean, we have not even seen the lineup at its best.
I mean, you hadn't seen it at its best. I mean,
six runs a game.
Springer's sub 200. Altuve's batting sub 200. Bregman's batting 209. Alvarez isn't even in Houston. I mean, Litmus Diaz is down.
He's
and you got. Toro,
he would be in here hitting instead of Toro.
Yeah, getting critical at bats with runners in scoring position, and they're still putting up six a game. And look, I understand that the opponents have been not very good outside of L.A. And I understand that, but there's I just have a hard time show with the thought process of Verlander's gone, Osuna's gone, throw in the towel, don't even push to make the you know to make it interesting. This lineup is too damn good to just take a pass.
Yeah, I hear you. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show Hughley, here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Remember, behind us, Texans All Access coming to you real quick, man. Before we get to the lineups, I want from you, man, if I were to say to you David Johnson, the running back, the new running back that Bill O'Brien needs to work, if I were to say to you, David Johnson, 20 touches a game, does that feel like too much?
No. No, I don't think it's too much. And in fact, the more I think about it, man, I think that and look, I take the history of David Johnson out of the mix, what he has done or what he hasn't done. Take the contract out of the mix, where he's one of the top five highest paid running backs in the NFL. Take that out of the fact that he was brought in when DeAndre Hopkins left. Take all of that out of the mix and just go, okay, here's what the Houston Texans have. They've got an opportunity with a running back to truly cause problems for opponents' defenses. I mean, in the past, when the Texans had Carlos Hyde out there, you put Carlos Hyde out at the receiver position, it is 100% a decoy. There's zero doubt about it. He's not running a go route. He's not going to strike you deep. He's not going to be a good route runner. He doesn't have great hands in a sense of catching the ball from that position. And so this is something the Texans haven't had. I don't remember the Texans ever having this. This is a back that 100% coming into games, defensive coordinators are going to have to make a priority of where is David Johnson. Is David Johnson in the backfield? Is he motioning out? Is he shifting out? Does he line up at wide receiver and then motion into the backfield? Does he do both? Does he motion in? Does he shift in and then motion out? And the defenses are going to have to know where he's at, because if you don't think this guy can catch the rock like a receiver, go just YouTube it. There's catches in an Arizona Cardinals uniform that are – he's making difficult wide receiver catches look effortless. And so – and it's back shoulders, it's go routes. This guy's a legitimate threat. He poses a threat to defensive coordinators. And at the very least, Tim Kelly should use shifts and use motions with David Johnson to make defenses work more just to get lined up. Just a line and a sign will be tenfold more difficult with David Johnson in the backfield or David Johnson in the huddle.
I think the number one thing Texans fans have as an issue with David Johnson is, hey, if he's getting 20 touches a game, will he hold up with the injuries? Will he hold up?
There's a lot of that. You can ask that. Hell, you can talk about Will Fuller like that. You can talk about Brandon Cooks like that. You can talk about Randall Cobb like that. Hell, I mean, you can talk about Titus Howard like that. I mean, there's so many guys like that with the Texans on the offensive side of the football. And, hell, then you flip over on the defensive side of the football, you look at what happened last year with guys getting injured left and right. Starts at the top with J.J. Watt. He hadn't been able to stay healthy but one of the last 4 years. That's always going to be part of the conversation with the Texans. But when you look at what David Johnson brings to the table, he's a three-down back. He's a guy that taking him off the field is going to be difficult to do, because the game plan that Tim Kelly puts together should consist of a heavy dose of David Johnson. Touches, yes, but more importantly, the way you use him, the way you move him pre-snap, it'll be obvious to the fans and it'll be effective to the defense.
Let's get these Astros lineups out, baby. Let's go. We got a little music tonight, baby.
Come on, baby.
Let's get it going. All right, leading off and playing right field tonight. A little surprise in the lineup. Number 4 in your program, number 1 in your closet. Oh, it's Mr. Big Hitten from old New Britain, George Springer.
And Springer Dinger.
Batting second and playing second. He may be 5'6", but he carries the big stick. And he makes people eat bananas when they don't want to. Mr. Shake, Rattle, and Roll coming at you, baby. The second baseman, Jose Altuve.
Big Skip.
And batting third and playing third, Mr. Swagtastic himself, baby. Oh, a.k.a. Nino Brown, a.k.a. my brother's keeper. Hell yeah, he is. The real AB, Alex Breckman. And batting fourth, Mr. Championship Hair, Cuban's finest, the first baseman, Yuli Gurriel. And batting fifth, don't you dare call him Carlos. That's los to you, Mr. She Knows.
She Knows.
She Knows. The shortstop, Carlos Correa, and the designated hitter. Oh, Canada, my home sweet, whatever the rest of the words are, Abraham Taro. And batting seventh, the left fielder, you know I love me some Tampa Tuck, Kyle Tucker. And in center field, move over Deion Sanders, move over Tyreek Hill. Hey, you say Bolt, you don't want this smoke. Miles Straw and the catcher, blonde bomber, Mr. Machete, Martin Maldonado. Touch them all, Astros. Great job, Tyler. Great job, Clint. Texas All Access next. I'm Ron, the show, Hughley in Houston. We love you, baby.
Light jump off in this pool.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.